We don't talk a lot about mental health within the Latino community. And me coming from the Latino community itself, I feel like this is something that we really need to talk about more. And, you know, I wanted to do something about it. As you can see, this can actually create a problem for the community as a whole. Kids grow up not hearing about mental health. They don't know how to, you know, distinguish anxiety or depression. They don't know what it feels like.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Vandal Theory, a podcast about science and research at the University of Idaho. My name is Lee Cooper, and I'm a science writer and editor here at University of Idaho. And welcome to the next season of our podcast here. I'm here today with my co-host, Kyle. Kyle, nice to see you again.
Hi, everyone. Great to be back. My name is Kyle Fonensteel. I'm Media Relations Manager here at U of I. Glad to be back for another season.
Yeah, I'm so excited. We got a good list of interviewees for the next season. So today, we're going to be talking about mental health and the barriers to accessing care for mental health. So Kyle, what stands out to you about the barriers to getting care?
A lot of the barriers to accessing healthcare are pretty tangible and easier to see, like language barriers, income barriers, insurance status, and having access to transportation, like a car. But I think what sometimes gets lost is that a lot of them are less visible, like the stigma of talking about mental health and distrust in the medical system or political institutions. Like at the start of COVID, I think the world got a very fast and an easily measurable lesson in healthcare disparities, which were partly caused by mistrust in medical institutions and political institutions, but also a lot of other things. When COVID infection rates were higher among people of color, or vaccination rates were lower later on. And I think this is these issues, you know, don't just exist at the start of the pandemic or in the vaccine rollout. I think we're still dealing with them today.
Right. Not a simple fix by any means. So the person to walk us through some of these issues today is Adolfo Carmona. Adolfo is a second-year medical student in Idaho WAMI. Idaho WAMI is a partnership between the University of Washington School of Medicine and the states of Washington, Wyoming, Alaska, Montana, and Idaho, which fills in the acronym for WAMI. And WAMI educates and provides training for many of our regional physicians. Adolfo is going to discuss the barriers to getting mental health help in the Latino community, and he's also going to discuss how he's attempting to help patients overcome these barriers. All right, ready to dive in?
Yep, let's go.
Hello, Adolfo, how's it going?
Hey, Lee, it's going great. How are you?
Oh, very good. Welcome to the Vandal Theory Podcast.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to be here. Thank you so much for the invite.
So can you introduce yourself real quick to our audience?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Adolfo Carmona, and I am a second-year medical student at the University of Washington, Idaho WAMI, here in Moscow, Idaho.
Excellent. So Adolfo, you're here to talk about your work with WAMI, and can you talk about what you did over your last summer?
Yeah, of course. During the summer between the first year and the second year of medical school, the students have the opportunity to either work in research, if they want to specialize in something else than primary care, or they can also have the opportunity to spend a month in a specific clinic, usually in a rural area, and this is known as RUOP. So you spend a month there, you get more clinical experience, you get to shadow some doctors, do some procedures, and learn along the way. But in addition to that, you also have to come up with a project that either, you know, some type of research in the community or something that benefits the community itself. So I decided to go the RUOP route and spend a summer in Jerome, Idaho.
And just so our listeners know what RUOP is, it stands for the Rural Underserved Opportunities Program. It's a 4-week community medical immersion experience for WAMI students between their first and second years of med school. And they're able to practice doing primary care in rural or urban underserved settings. So can you introduce me to Jerome? I've never actually driven through there.
Yes, of course. Jerome is actually a fairly small city. I think it has around 12,000 people. It's 10 to 15 minutes away from Twin Falls and maybe an hour to an hour and a half south of the ski resort in Ketchum and Sun Valley. But yeah, fairly small town. Most of the, I guess the economy of the town depends mostly on agriculture or dairy farms, some type of just field work.
Okay. And from what I understand, we do have a pretty high Latino population in that region, correct?
Yes, that is correct. It is, I think it is estimated that 38% of the population in Jerome is Latino. And that basically also resembles a lot of the small communities, you know, around Jerome. There's a lot of Latinos in that area.
So what was the research topic that you decided to tackle, and why was that research topic so important for Jerome?
Awesome. That's a big question, right? So over the summer, I worked on a project that basically deals with bringing an awareness about mental health within the Spanish-speaking community in Jerome. And then the reason why I decided to talk about mental health. And that's a good question. I think it has to do with, we don't talk a lot about mental health within the Latino community. And me coming from the Latino community itself, I feel like this is something that we really need to talk about more. And, you know, I wanted to do something about it. As you can see, this can actually create a problem for the community as a whole. Kids grow up not hearing about mental health. They don't know how to, you know, distinguish anxiety or depression. They don't know what it feels like. So when they grow up to be adults, they don't know how to identify those signs, you know, in order for them to receive the help they may need. And like I said, it's definitely something that I think we need to do something about. And the other reason why I decided to talk about mental health is after one of my classmates from high school actually committed suicide. And I feel, again, there's a lack of knowledge within our community about mental health. And, you know, there's this negative stigma around talking about mental health that I think has to be removed. And, you know, that is probably the main reason why I decided to concentrate in this project and talk about something that not a lot of people talk about within my community.
It's the shine a light in dark places idea.
Yeah.
Just like ignoring the problem doesn't mean the problem's not there.
Yeah, and it makes it worse, like we saw, probably.
Yeah. So let's break down. You started to dabble in some ideas there that I want to take some time to unpack. The barriers to getting help for mental health issues in the Latino community. I'd really like to walk through what some of those are. People outside the community might not be aware of these, and people inside the community, well, like you said, it's really easy to not talk about these types of things. I know we didn't in my family growing up. So let's break some of these down.
Yeah. I think most people think that language is a main barrier, you know, when it comes to receiving just healthcare in general or also mental health care. But it goes deeper than that. Transportation can be just one of them. Obviously, as simple as, do I have a car to get to the clinic, to get to the counselor? Or do I have someone to actually take me to the clinic? In addition to transportation, we also have, obviously, you know, taking the time off. Like I mentioned before, a lot of the jobs in Jerome or around the towns around Jerome, most of them have to do with agriculture. So many of them, you know, don't have the rules like, oh, I'm just going to request time off and then I'm going to get approved. It's different when you work in agriculture. So many of them are not able to take the time off to go to the clinic or make their appointments. So that's another barrier on its own. But obviously, language, in addition to that, to the previous barriers that I mentioned, language is huge. Especially in Jerome, we don't have a lot of doctors to begin with who actually speak Spanish. And then if we actually talk about counselors who can speak Spanish, the number is even lower than that. And that is one barrier, you know, the language itself. But at the same time, just having the number of counselors who can actually speak Spanish. Because let's say we have 5 in town. I'm actually not sure how many we have in Jerome, but let's say we have 5, and with a 38% Latino population, you can imagine that they are booked for months. So it's, you know, being able to find the time to make it, to actually, have that appointment with them. And we overall, we need more people to go into counseling and address this issue within our community.
For sure. I want to go even back to the transportation. You were saying, do you have a car? Cars are obviously expensive. And I'm guessing, is everybody going to be able to use that car? Are some of these things part of the problem?
Yeah, definitely. When you're in a community that has mostly low-income jobs, you know, even just being able to afford a car can be an issue. Most of us don't even think about that. But when you think about communities that don't have the resources that we are used to, these are common problems that people face. And we tend to overlook them. But these problems are there within the community as well. So I think that you brought up a really good point about that.
In our last conversation, you even mentioned there's a difference between possibly like men and women. Who's going to have the car? Who's going to have a license?
Yes. I don't know if it's just within the Latino community. At least it is with the older generations within the Latino community that I see it more. But many women don't drive. They actually depend on their husbands to go places. And this obviously can interfere with their appointments. You know, if the husband can't take time off of work, then the spouse can't make it to the appointment. They can't drive themselves there. So, like I said, this is mostly with the older generations that I have seen this. But at the same time, those are the people who actually need the most help when it comes to healthcare or even mental health care. The problems usually tend to go up as you age, as you know. So this can become a problem. We don't really see it as much with the younger generations. I think we have assimilated to the U.S. more. But yeah, that's something that we still see in clinic.
All right. Let's also break down a little bit more just that idea of stigma of like, what does that look like in the community or why does it exist?
Yeah. Well, I think the negative stigma comes from the culture itself, if you ask me. I think the Latino culture has so many positive things, but I do think, you know, this negative stigma about mental health is one of the drawbacks or the negatives. Most of the time we don't talk about it, or we don't talk about people who are struggling or going through some stuff, because I think there's this stigma that they are going to be labeled as crazy or insane. And no one wants to be called that. So I think that when people feel depressed or anxious, they prefer to just suppress these feelings than talk about it, because they don't want to have any labels attached to them. And as you can see, you know, this can become very toxic at the end. If you continue with, you know, suppressing those feelings and never seek the help that you need.
And then you said that people literally don't know how to identify having a mental health either issue or crisis within themselves. Can you give an example? What does that look like? How does that manifest?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Thank you for asking that. The problem is you don't know how to identify the signals. And they are things that we don't normally associate with a mental health condition. You know, they can be things such as just feeling fatigued all the time, tired all the time. You can't go to sleep or you sleep too much. Appetite, if you eat too much or you don't eat enough. Those drastic changes can actually be an indication that you're dealing with something deeper than just sleeping too much or sleeping too little. They might actually be a mental health problem.
Makes sense. Beginning of COVID, I basically gave myself a stomach ache because I was just so anxious about everything that was going mm-hmm. on. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, then I realized it was just really, really
yeah,
stressed
it's,
out.
It's funny how the body can tell you, you know, hey, something is wrong. It's almost like the engine light goes on, you know. And what's funny, though, I think, is in one of the research articles that I was reading for this project, they found that actually the main reason that Latinos were diagnosed with a mental health condition was actually unexplained abdominal pain. So they were coming in to the clinic for, you know, abdominal pain. They didn't know what was happening. They didn't have any accidents. And it turns out that 56% of the cases in that study found that it was due to anxiety or depression.
Wow, that's incredibly high.
Yeah, yes. And like I said, so it comes down to not knowing, you know, what anxiety feels like. And if you don't know what this, you know, signals might be, you end up having these weird symptoms that you don't really connect to a mental health condition, but they actually end up dealing with your brain.
All right, so let's get into what you ended up trying to do. What was kind of your hypothesis, I guess? What were you trying to help, and what did you end up doing?
So like I said, for this project, it wasn't so much doing research itself. Well, I guess it was research within the community. But it was just trying to come up with a project that actually educated the Latino community, you know, when it comes to mental health and addressing basically the negative stigma within the community. So for our project, we actually came up with two delivery methods. So one of them was just creating a flyer in which we talked about the negative stigma itself. We talked a little bit about the most common conditions that affect Latinos or the Latino community when it comes to mental health. We included some of the signals that we already talked about, you know, like depression and anxiety can be seen sometimes with fatigue or if you're sleeping too much, muscle pain and abdominal pain. And we also created a list of the counselors in the area who actually speak Spanish. And we distributed this flyer through our social media platforms. But we didn't think, you know, we were going to have the outreach that we wanted just with the flyer. So we also decided to create a podcast episode in which we talk about basically the same things as in the flyer, but just, you know, in a conversation mode, just like we are right now. So one of my friends and I have this podcast completely in Spanish, and we decided to create one episode in which we talk about mental health and address some of these issues.
And what is that called, and how could I find it if I was looking for it?
Ah, I was going for that question. So the podcast is actually called El Show de Fin y Sal. So fin for finanzas or finances in Spanish, and sal for salud or health. So we talk about business and health. And we are actually on 6 different platforms, but most of our listeners are actually listening to us on Apple Podcast or Spotify, and they can just search us by typing in El Show de Fin y Sal.
Sounds good. Going back to one of the things you mentioned about your flyer.
Yes.
You said you listed what are the most common mental health issues that pop up in the community. What were those?
Yeah, we listed 4 of them and just explained some basic information about each of them. Obviously, the two main ones that we wanted to talk about were anxiety and depression, because those are the most common ones and what affect the Latino community the most. We also talked about mood disorders, in which basically you can have waves of your mood. You know, like you have highs and lows, and most people have this, but sometimes it actually becomes a problem in your daily routine with your life. And that is when it can actually be a deeper problem and should be addressed, or you should, you know, talk to your provider about that. And we also talked about the ADHD, which is, you know, a condition that affects a lot of mostly students, because that's when you get tested for it, when they screen for it. But just the inability to pay attention to things. If you're not able to concentrate on a specific task, you're at work and you just get distracted by something. So we found that those were the main conditions that affected Latinos. And we wanted to explain a little bit on the flyer what those actually looked like.
Have you gotten any responses to your flyer and podcast yet?
Yes, we actually received a couple messages from people in the community telling us that they had liked the episode, which definitely, you know, makes it meaningful for us, because then we feel like we're actually making a small difference. We don't have that many listeners, but I'm glad that those people who listen to it get something out of it. But I think the most meaningful thing was when I received a message from one of the family members, from one of my classmates, the one who passed away, just thanking us for talking about this topic. And I think that was, you know, one of those moments when it hits you. This is something that we actually need to talk about more. And we have to do something about this. That was a very meaningful message. And honestly, my goal next summer, if I can, is to bring all the counselors who actually speak Spanish in Jerome and Twin Falls and create this, I don't know if a network or a group that actually works together to improve the mental health within our community, within the Latino community.
Do you happen to know what you want to, what kind of doctor you want to become once you get done with WAMI?
At least right now, I'm thinking family medicine is probably the best option for me. You know, the goal of trust is to increase the number of primary care providers in rural areas, and I think it has been a great fit for me.
And just one more definition for everyone, just to make sure everyone knows. Trust is a targeted rural underserved track. And what it is it provides an educational experience to prepare medical students to work in underserved rural communities. So they spend a decent amount of time in each of these communities getting to see a bunch of different facets of what life as a doctor would be like there.
They assigned me to the clinic in Jerome. It has been an amazing experience. And honestly, I would love to stay in that area and practice there in the future if I can as a family medicine provider.
All right, we're getting on towards the end here. Any last things you want to leave the audience with or kind of final thoughts?
Yes. Well, I hope that people can take something out of this episode. And I guess the goal of this is to, at the end, normalize talking about mental health, that we no longer see it as a sign of weakness. We need to stay together and ensure that those people who actually need the help receive it and are not afraid to actually speak up and talk about those problems, because we definitely don't want to see more cases like my classmate. Those are the things that make this really sad. You know, she had a lot of potential, and I definitely don't want to see more people from our community going through those things, and their families, of course. If people can take that away from this episode, I'm happy with that.
Absolutely. Well, Adolfo, thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me again, Lee, and it has been a great experience. Thank you.
Well, Kyle, so what'd you think?
Well, I was pretty surprised to learn that unexplained stomach pain was such a large driver for anxiety diagnoses for Latinos. But I guess once Adolfo explained it, it makes sense. I liked his analogy of our bodies giving us a check engine light, showing one symptom to tell us that something is wrong and to look more into it. And I think it's a good reminder for a lot of us to listen to what our bodies are trying to tell us. It's really impactful to think about mental health advocacy and health advocacy in general as work to let us engage with our bodies more and listen to what they're telling us. I liked that lesson from this.
For me, it was sort of that lesson, but also looking outwards. Some of the things he said about, you know, trends he sees in the Latino community, you know, hit home with me. My grandmother doesn't drive either, and I'm sure that made it difficult getting to appointments of any kind. It was interesting. I also, on the exact same day that I interviewed him, I also did training to be a mental health advocate here on campus, and it was just, you know, kind of over and over all day just hearing about how hard these conversations can be, and yet how necessary they are, and how much we can help each other by having these tough conversations and continuing to talk about mental health. It's an excellent reminder over and over again that this is important, and this is important to our community. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening to The Vandal Theory. You can visit our website, uidaho.edu/vandaltheory, to learn more about all the research we do here. Email us at vandaltheory@uidaho.edu if you have any questions or comments. We'd love to hear from you. The podcast is on pretty much all the podcasting platforms out there, so please go and rate and review us, and of course, subscribe. My name is Lee Cooper.
I'm Kyle Fonenskew.
And thanks everyone for listening.